or tapes of End Time Meeting, Bible Campground's publication, Voices from His Excellent Glory, Declaring the Kingdom, writes Post Office Box 21516, Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas, zip 71903.
Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home.
Friday afternoon, July the 6th, 2001. Summer Family Camp Meeting being held at Lake Hamilton Bible Campgrounds, Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas. Mildred Coffey of Millington, Tennessee, is the teacher of the afternoon.
Praise the Lord. I was going to share this morning, Dr. Noel was talking about his first time being here, and I got to thinking about when Jim and I first came, Doc. We used to sit in the very back there. We would wait till services started, then we'd slip in and we'd sit back there. See, we were in deliverance and we had been so ostracized by people, we didn't know whether we'd be ostracized over here or not, so we weren't taking any chances. We had been in deliverance for a few years when we started over here. And when Glenn would stand up here and say, how many ministers have we got here? I didn't want to get up, and Jim would get up, and he'd say, get up. I said, no, I'm not getting up. He'd pull me up. But we were in deliverance. But we were so blessed, and we just kept coming and continued to come. But we had the left foot of fellowship out of a few places, especially out of the church that we were in. He and I were Baptists from the Baptist church, and learned a lot in the Baptist church, and I praise the Lord for it. But I thank the Lord for what he's given us and what he had taught us, and where we haven't arrived yet. We're still learning. And as the brother said, I don't know. This is really strange. Well, it's not strange, but last night I didn't sleep very well. And I finally got to sleep, I think about 2 o'clock this morning, and then the Lord woke me up and began to give me scriptures and names. And I thought, Lord, okay. I got up and started writing them down. So you're going to get what the Lord gave me. And it's nothing new, but I'm going to be obedient to the Lord. And then we're going to have mass deliverance. We're going to really have deliverance for those that want it. Amen? Praise the Lord. Father, thank you for this day, Lord. We thank you for your mercy and your grace, and we thank you for your love. And Father, we just thank you that you are more than enough. And Father, we just praise you this evening. We give all glory and honor to you. And I bind the enemy off of this place. I bind him off each one here in the name of Jesus. I take authority over the powers of darkness, and I bind every spirit that would hinder or harass in any way. And Father, I thank you for the authority that's in the name of Jesus Christ. And now I just pray, Father, that you'll anoint the words of my mouth, that I'll speak that which you've given unto me. Pray, Father, that you will anoint the ears to hear and the eyes to see and the heart to receive your word. And Father, we just thank you that just the word, your word, and that anything else will not take things that I say that are not edifying or doesn't meet your qualifications. Lord, I just ask you to remove them. But Lord, I thank you for what you're doing in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. We had a good time upstairs. It was a little bit warm, but we did, and we did some deliverance. We had some spirits cast out. I'm going to teach on ruler spirits. Ruler spirits. The Lord began to speak to me about them, so I'm going to start. I think I'm going to have to change my glasses. Y'all just hold on a minute. Praise the Lord. I want to begin this afternoon with Genesis. I want you to open up your Bibles if you want to go with me to Genesis chapter 10. You know, we've been going all week after the lesser spirits, but this afternoon we're going after some of the real ones. In Genesis in chapter 10, in Genesis 10 in verse 8, Scripture tells us, says, "And Cush begat Nimrod, and he began to be a mighty one in the earth. He was a mighty hunter before the Lord. Wherefore it is said, even as Nimrod the mighty hunter before the Lord, and the beginning of his kingdom was Babel." We're going over into Ezekiel, and we're going to look at the hunter of souls, which I firmly believe his name is Nimrod. But I want to show you something that we learn through doing deliverance that witchcraft, there's a witch spirit that works with Nimrod, the hunter of souls. He said, what's the hunter of souls? Well, you'll find out. Go to Ezekiel chapter 13. Over in Ezekiel in chapter 13 and beginning with verse 17. And in Ezekiel 13, verse 17, the scripture says, likewise, thou son of man, set thy face against the daughters of thy people, which prophesy of their own heart, and prophesy thou against them. And as you begin to read this scripture here, and he talks about, we're going to get into the hunter of souls, but I want you to look at what he's saying about prophecy. He said that the set your face. He was telling, Ezekiel was telling them to set their face against the daughters that prophesied out of their own heart. So, how many of you have ever heard of the hunter souls? Okay? Okay, it's a spirit that goes around and hunts people's souls. And I'll give you some scripture, the rest of scripture on it in a few minutes, but I want you to look at this as back up into Ezekiel 13, and let's go back to the beginning of this chapter in verse 2. Son of man, he says, prophesy against the prophets of Israel that prophesy, and say thou unto them that prophesy of their own hearts, hear ye the word of the Lord. Thus saith the Lord God, Lord God, woe unto the foolish prophets that prophesy of their own spirit and have seen nothing. O Israel, thy prophets are like the foxes of the desert. The Lord began to talk to me about this. We began to look at this hunter of souls. We ran into in my church one time, was doing deliverance on the lady, and witchcraft was working with it, and we did not know it. And when you study this whole chapter, it begins to talk about the false prophet, the prophecies that come out that are false, that people prophesy out of their own spirit. And what it does when people you open yourself up to receive a prophecy, when someone goes to prophesy to you, and if it's coming from the wrong spirit, even if it's a soulish spirit prophecy, it begins to tear the soul. Okay? And so you begin to, I see that you can, if you have received prophecies that you know that they weren't truly from the Lord, you need to release them, break a soul tie with the prophet, the person that prophesied over you. You know, prophecies, just prophecy is to edify. Dr. Noel talked about this morning. Was this morning, wasn't it? To comfort, to edify, and to build up. When we get a lot of prophecy that's maybe just coming from a person's human spirit, as you open yourself up to receive it, then you've opened yourself up for the wrong spirit to work on you. Okay? So, I had been ministering to with this spirit of the hunter souls before, and when I ran into the witch, we couldn't get the hunter souls out. I didn't even know there was such a one. I knew that there were soul ties. I knew the soul could be removed, but I did not know that there was a spirit called the hunter souls. And I was reading when I was ministering deliverance to that lady that day, and we found out who he was. He said, I don't have to go. He said, I've got my power here. So I began to pray and ask the Lord what it was. And he said, there's a witch spirit working. And you know, over in Acts, when Peter was, I think it was Philip, was down in Samaria, and they were performing miracles, and God was healing people and delivering people, and Peter came in, and Simon the sorcerer was there, and he was a false prophet, and he wanted the power of God, and you know, he offered the money to receive it. Well, this is the same kind of spirit. This false prophet is a wizard, a warlock. The scripture tells you he was a false prophet, and that he had the people in bondage through his witchcraft. So, as you read all of Ezekiel, the first chapter of Ezekiel, it tells you more about it and what God says about it, but I want us to go on further into Ezekiel 13, verse 18. Y'all bear with me, I'm going to cool off and not be so dry. And verse 18 says, And say, thus saith the Lord God, woe to the women that sew pillows to all armholes and make kerchiefs upon their head of every statue to hunt souls. Will you hunt the souls of my people, and will you save the souls alive that come unto you? There's a this spirit that hunts the souls, it says there in that verse that there are those that it will kill, and there are those that it will make keep alive. And if you want to see a good example of that, look into some of the nursing homes where you see people that had been walk with the Lord for years but knew nothing about deliverance, and they're incapacitated to the extent that they are totally helpless. And as one person is like that, what does it do on a family? It keeps the family, who's going to take care of it, a mother or daddy, or who's going to pay the bills or whatever. And this is the way the enemy works, through this spirit. And then it's, the scripture also says that it kills, it takes those out that should not die. You've seen perfectly healthy people just die for no reason, just like that, or get sick real quick and pass away. But the enemy's working and doing this, and you say, well, how do you know that's what it is? Well, look at the results of what the Word says. The Word says that's it, and that it, look what it does to the family and to all the people. You know, you're never prepared for someone to die, but if it's a sudden death, it's even worse. But let's go on with this in verse. And by the way, did you see that the scripture said, my people? It didn't talk about lost people. It's God's people. The enemy works on God's people as well as others. You know, some people say, well, I don't have a demon. The Christians can't have a demon. I still say, if that be true, show it to me in the Word. I don't see it in the Word. Do you? Brother Jim, have you found that in the Word? No. Brother Dr. Noel, have you found that? So you see, it's God's people that the devil wants. He's already got the others. So why should he worry with them, you know, about them? So he attacks God's people. And so Ezekiel is saying, this spirit hunts. And when you said, what did I read Nimrod for? Over in Micah, there's another scripture that talks about how the spirit is, the hunter goes forth and the destruction he brings. So let's go on. He said, and will you pollute me among my people for a handful of barley and for pieces of bread to slay the souls that should not die? See, now here he talks again about the soul. And this is done in witchcraft. They pay to put curses on people, to kill people, to make people want to marry them, and, you know, all the different kinds of curses that they use. And they pay for it to be done. He says, for a handful of barley and for pieces of bread to slay the souls that should not die and to save the souls alive that should not live, by your lying to my people and that bear your lies. Wherefore, thus saith the Lord God, behold, I am against your pillars wherewith ye there hunt the souls to make them fly, and I will tear them from your arms and will let the souls go, even the souls that you hunt to make them fly. And he goes on to say in verse 21, he says, your curses also will I tear and deliver my people out of your hands, and they shall be no more at your hand to be hung it, and ye shall know that I am the Lord. By the way, when we dealt with this spirit of the hunter of souls, after we bound the witch, we found out where the witch was coming from. It was being sent into the church, and we bound the spirit of the witch and drove it out of the church. We asked the Father to open the pillows and let the souls out that the hunter of souls had collected. He said, I don't believe that. That's not my problem. I'm telling you, you can believe it or not. But it's true. Listen, in deliverance, we've learned an awful lot about the works of the enemy. You see, this is what this afternoon service is about, is deliverance and the spirits that operate in people. And you say, well, they're not in me. Well, let me ask you something. Have you ever heard people say about people that are getting older and they're having trouble remembering and you know, and they're not as active as they used to be or so forth and so on. They said, well, that's old age working. You know, that's just, you got to expect that. Why? Moses was 120 years old when the Lord took him, and his eyesight was not dim, and neither was his strength, natural strength abated. And God's word said he's no respecter of persons. So there's no reason for, listen, I'm young at heart. And I'm getting younger every day. And I don't intend to end up that way. I call my soul back. I was telling the church upstairs, the girls upstairs, I said, not only do I call my soul back of a morning, I said, mind, wake up, get up. It's time to get up, get alert. And in the name of Jesus, every dead cell that's died in my brain, I command it to be resurrected in the name of Jesus Christ. And I'd speak life to myself. Why should God's people end up in some of the situations where they are? Because we don't want to believe what the Word says. Well, it can't happen to me. I'm under the blood. Well, so am I. I'm covered with the blood. I'm washed with the blood. I'm justified by the blood. And I've been sanctified by the blood. And I'm cleansed by the blood. But I still have to fight the enemy. And God has given us all kinds of weapons to be able to be free. He wants us to walk and be a living epistle that people can read and see God at work in. But we have to fight the enemy so much, we let him take over so much of our lives that we don't fight anything but ourselves and the devil in us. And we need to be to the place when we walk down the aisle, people will get healed. Be like it is sometimes in my church. You walk down the aisle, you may get a pillow or get something thrown at you. You might get a cup of water on you, just whatever happens to be handy. If somebody manifests, if the anointing's there, it'll manifest a spirit, and next thing you know, you may be under attack. You say in your church, yes, and I love it. I do. You know, the devil doesn't want us to uncover his works. He wants us to walk in darkness, and God has given us the light, and we want to walk in the light, and we want to uncover all the works of the darkness and let God's people know that they don't have to be where they're walking. And all we've got to do is just believe what His Word says. When I first talked on the 100 souls, I had somebody say, I've read that passage of Scripture a lot of times. I've never seen that. And that's what we do. We read it and we don't see it. I wasn't smart enough to see it when I was reading it. I was doing like everybody else was. I was reading it, and yeah, it's good. You know, it talks about witchcraft and all this. But when I had a spirit manifest, and I never see a spirit manifest and find out what it is, that I don't go to the Word to see where it is. And God always gives me the Scripture on it. Okay, going on. This is not the only one I'm going to have that God gave me this morning. He gave me a list. So we're going on. Okay. Let's go back over to Ezekiel 6:13. Let's look at that sixth verse. I want you to look. You know, I had read this for years and read the latter part of the Scripture in Ezekiel 13:17-20. And I'm going to read the rest of that in a minute. And I wasn't reading the first part, and I thought it's so plain. He keeps telling us why, what gives the 100 souls the power to do what he's doing. It's because of the occult, the witchcraft, and the false, and I'm saying false prophets, but I'm talking about witches and warlocks and wizards that loose curses upon us. And you know, the Word says that a curse can't cause this come. And it can come just because it wants to. There has to be a reason. Could be some of our unbelief that opens the door for it. You know, well, I don't believe that, but we need to check the Scriptures, to try the spirits to see if it be true or not. In Ezekiel 13, and verse 6, it said, he says, they have seen vanity and lying divination. See, they're speaking the witchcraft curses. What does divination mean? It's all, what does it include? It includes a lot of all the different things in the occult. Witchcraft, necromancy, can't think of them right now, but they're listed in Deuteronomy chapter 18, verses 9 through 11, if you want to read them. And he said, and they have made others, I said, the Lord said, and the Lord, well, let me start off, they have seen vanity and lying divination, saying, the Lord says, and the Lord has not sent them, and they have made others to hope that they would confirm the word. Have you not seen a vain vision, and have you not spoken a lying divination? Whereas you say, the Lord saith it, albeit I have not spoken. God says, I've not said these things. These are lying words that are coming forth. And see, words, we talked about words upstairs this afternoon, how words can bring life or death, and how words harm, and how the words are spirit. Jesus said his words were spirit and truth. And if Jesus, when he was speaking, he says his words were spirit, we're made in the image of God. And when we speak, our words are spirit, and they go forth. And what happens to a spirit? God spoke, and he said, let there be light. And his word's still working. He said that was God. Well, we're made in his image. What happens to your words? We prayed that our words would fall to the ground, and we asked the Lord to forgive the things that we had spoken we shouldn't have spoken. He said in verse 8, therefore thus saith the Lord God, because you have spoken vanity and seen lies, therefore behold, I am against you, saith the Lord God, and my hand shall be upon the prophets that see vanity and that divine lies. They shall not be in the assembly of my people, neither shall they be written in the writing of the house of Israel, neither shall they enter into the land of Israel, and ye shall know that I am the Lord God. He said that the false prophet, the ones that are in the occult with their divination and their lying vanity, you heard what he said, okay. Over in Ezekiel 13, back over in the latter part, let's finish this. He said in verse 22, because the lies you have spoke have made the heart of the righteous sad, whom I have not made sad, and strengthened the hands of the wicked, that he should not return from his wicked ways by promising him life. Why do people go to today to whether the psychics, call the psychics on the phone, and they're telling them things, and they're believing them. They're wanting to hear from God. They're just going the wrong way. You know, people are hungry for the Spirit of the Lord, the truth. And they go to fortune tellers. They use crystals. All of this stuff. And it's all of the devil. People say, well, it doesn't hurt me, you know. Well, okay. Therefore, ye shall see no more vanity nor divine divinations, for I will deliver my people out of your hands, and ye shall know that I am the Lord. So God says, the hunter's souls that goes forth, and I'm going to give you another scripture. I'm not going to read. Yeah, well, I'll read. Go to Psalms chapter 7. And I'm going to put this in, give you this. The Lord reminded me when he began to show me about the soul being fragmented and torn and removed. He said in Psalms 23:3, he said, he restoreth my soul. But look, did you ever stop to think, Lord, why does my soul need to be restored? In the Baptist church, I just thought that meant it was saved. And I'm not knocking the Baptist, so don't get mad at me about that, because I was one. Somebody asked me one time what I was. I said, well, I'm a Baptist coastal. Anyways. But the thing was, they would always want us to go visiting. We would go try to get people's souls saved. Well, you can't get somebody's soul saved if they don't have it. I've experienced that with dealing with people in deliverance. See, it's too late to tell me it's not true because I've already seen it. And I'm sharing with you what I have seen. Now, I don't mean to, and I'm not talking about me. I've seen it in our church, okay? And so when I saw this scripture, I said, well, Lord, I see now why you need to restore my soul. And so when I saw this, I just sat down and I said, okay, Father, you know where all of it is and you know how it's been taken. I want my soul back. I want my soul back that you put in me when you've created me in my mother's womb. And I said, Father, I want my mind, my will, my emotion to come back. I want every piece of it. And I asked you to send your angels out. I believe, Father, that when I asked you, you'll loose them to go forth and bring my soul back. And I was sitting in my den, and I was sitting in a chair and had my eyes shut. And all of a sudden, I began to see something that looked like a pie shell. But it wasn't the pie in it, not a complete pie. There was only just a few pieces, you know. Maybe a fourth of it. Maybe, I don't even remember exactly how much was there. But all of a sudden, I began to see pieces of that pie come back into the shell. And I thought, ooh, that's neat. He's restoring my soul and he's showing me he's doing it. And then I saw it completed. And I didn't even know this scripture at that time about the hunter souls. I just knew that he said he restored my soul. And I wanted to know why. But Psalm 7 says, verse 1, O Lord my God, in thee do I put my trust. Save me from all them that persecute me and deliver me, lest he tear my soul like a lion, rending it in pieces while there is none to deliver. See, when we belong to the devil, and you did belong to the devil according to Ephesians 2:2, the prince of this world, the god of this world, was in charge of you. Well, he could do with you what he wanted to. There was no one to deliver. And there's still no one to deliver a lot of God's people because people won't believe what the Word says. You walk out of here and say, I don't believe that. That's okay. That's between you and God. My point of place is to tell you, God gave it to me last night. I had no intentions of teaching this today. I had a nice sermon that everybody would accept. But you know me. If I have reward evil unto him that it was at peace with me, verse 4. Well, I skip one. Oh, Lord my God, if I have done this, if there be iniquity in my hands, if I have rewarded evil unto him that was at peace with me, yea, I have delivered him that was that without cause is my enemy. Let the enemy persecute my soul and take it. I didn't say that. I'm reading you what the Word says. Psalm 7, verse 5. Let him tread down my life upon the earth and lay mine honor in the dust. So here we see that David, this is the Psalm of David, and he's saying, Lord, let the enemy take my soul. And then he also said, he said that the soul was torn. What does the First Peter say? That Satan goes around, the enemy goes around like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. And here he is. He's come along and torn the soul while there was none to deliver, while we belong to the devil. And now that we belong to God, God wants it restored. Isn't that neat? I think it's great. God wants us to have it whether we believe it or not. And so if we'll ask him and believe him, he'll restore it. Okay, that ain't cost you a thing. Let's go to Job. I want to go over to Job chapter 41. I love to teach on the soul because it always gets me back into saying, Lord, all of my mind, all of my will, all of my ability, all of my personality, all everything. You were looking the concordance at 53:15, and it tells you all the parts of the soul. That's in Hebrew. Go over in the Greek, and it's 44 something. I forgot what that is, but it tells you what the soul is. Job 41, I want to talk to you about Leviathan, the ruler spirit, another ruler spirit. Leviathan, the Word says over in Psalm 74, he has seven heads, or has heads. The Leviathan is heads. But let's read this in Job 41, verse 1, says, can thou draw out Leviathan with a hook, or his tongue with a cord, which thou lettest down? I want to tell you something. Leviathan won't leave just because you say boo. I promise you. I believe that Leviathan wraps around the spinal cord. I've watched them around the spine of a person's backbone. I've watched the thing crawl up his back. We had a lady in our church when we were a big church. my husband was doing deliverance on this lady. And somehow or another, she ended up on, we had a platform just about like this. And she ended up on the floor, and he was sitting on the step there, you know, the platform, and she was on the floor, and he was after Leviathan. He got that thing up to roll on here in her neck, and he quit, and she looked at him, and she said, don't you dare stop till you get that thing out. And he said, well, I gotta get prayer packed, some more prayer up here. And we all, several of us got there and began to help him, and that thing came out. And she told us, she said, it felt like it was just ripping my spine, my backbone apart, but said I knew where it was and she knew when it left. But those things, it wraps around the spinal cord. Okay. And you're not going to get him out. You're not going to get him out like you do a mass deliverance on somebody. I don't care who you are. You're not Jesus. You say, well, I am. No, well, yeah, you are, but those spirits, they get in there and they get a hold and they don't leave because you say come out. And then you walk away and say, they're all gone. And then the people are stuck with it. Now, be shame on you. I'm pointing at you. I mean, he's getting uneasy. You're just the one I know I can do it to. I'm not accusing, really. I'm just telling you, stick with it till you get it out. Why? A little bit of work, it won't hurt you. It's good for you. If me at my young age can get on the floor and wrestle with a demon, you can too. That's the truth. I'm not telling you how old I am. I'm just close to 100. Anyway, verse 34. Verse 34, I'm closer than you think. Verse 34 says, listen, he beholdeth all high things. He is a king over all the children of pride. Tell me you don't want him out. He's a ruler of spirit over all different kinds of pride. We're going after him this afternoon. But there are so many different spirits of pride. We were doing deliverance in our church, lady one time, and several of us women were praying for her, was around her, and I was watching. I was sitting back watching, and I don't know, a couple of the ladies called I don't know what they were calling him, but they were calling spirits of pride. I don't know whether it was big pride, little pride, or what it was. And finally, the demon looked up at him and said, "Hey, make up your mind. Which one do you want?" And I said, "Hey, let's get them all out." And when they got down to the little one, that little one, this lady, that thing sounded like a baby, and it said, "Well, everybody ought to have a little bit of pride." They sent it, that one out too. But see, this spirit of Leviathan, who is it that fell from heaven because of pride? Makes me wonder who he really is. If you run a lot of the references on it, you really come to believe that he is the dragon. But he doesn't leave easily. I'm telling you facts of life. I'm not going to stand up here and tell you that demons come out just because you stomp your foot and say, "I hate the devil, come on out of there." They don't do that. They're life in your face. That's the reason a lot of people don't want them to manifest. They'll tell them off. I've been told off so much that I was telling the ladies, Doc was talking about this morning. He preached my sermon. I preached that sermon the other day. You get my tape. Don't get his. Get both of them. Call it out. Get it off me too. But when he was talking about that sin being a demon that waits outside, the scripture said that's outside the door. God said to Cain, I was telling them, we actually had a spirit do that about 3 weeks ago. Came one of the ladies came in. I told them, I'll tell again. She came in the church on Sunday morning. We was having church, fixing to have services. And when she came in, she looked like a storm cloud. And I really, as I said, I really didn't want to do deliverance on Sunday morning before I started church. But if it's necessary, we do. So we started church, and we were singing. And I kept getting hit by something, and I got where I couldn't sing. And I said, "Let's stop and do deliverance." And of course, I said, "I'm under attack." And they thought I was going to let them work on me. And which would have been good, but wouldn't have been a bit of good to work on me till we got the thing off of her, because she was the Lord had spoke to me and said, "That thing is cursing you." And I thought, "What in the world is that thing?" And so I told her, I said, "Come up here, we're going to do deliverance on you." And she came up, and she said, "I was okay till I started church this morning." And she said, she got mad about something. She said she got angry, but she said, "I was still okay." She said, "I kept repenting of my anger, I thought." And so when I came into church, just something hit me all of a sudden. So I went after that thing, and I asked him what he was doing there. He manifested and started talking to me, which they like to do sometimes. They try to put me down. So that's not hard to do. You know, they just sit there, and I sit there laughing. He told me he came in to destroy the church, and I could not help but laugh. It was so funny. My great big church was all around, all six of them. We were down to it. We just got four new members, so we're about up to 10. Well, if everybody comes, might be 12. But that night was just a handful. And he's looking at me, and he said, "I didn't want to come." I said, "Where'd you come from?" And the Lord had told me that he had just dropped in. And I thought it was just something just dropped in from the heavenlies. And he was, but he was sent. And he was mad because he was sent. And he went into her, and he said, I hate this church. And you got to understand where I'm coming from. I'm sitting there. He's going to destroy my church. And I looked around, and I started laughing. And he said, "Well, it's the truth." He said, "I hate you and everything about this church." And I said, "And you're going to do what to this church?" And he said, "Destroy it." He said, "That's my orders." And I said, "Well, what are you going to do? Tell me what you're going to do." And, you know, he was volunteering it anyways, and he wouldn't tell me that. So I said, "Well, I'm just going to bind you in her. I'm not going to let you out until you tell me who you are and where you came from." And he told me Lucifer sent him. He said his name was Lucifer. I said, "Oh, my goodness, we're really up there. We're getting our main man, huh?" He said, "Okay, mock me if you want to, but it's true." He said, "No, I'm not the main one, but said I was sent in here to destroy this church." But why I'm telling this, that thing was waiting outside the door for an opening into the church. And he went into the girl that came in that had been in a battle on the way to church. And so he said, I called him a demon. He didn't like that. He said he was an angel. I said, "Oh, yeah?" You know, I said, "So it takes a big one to come in and get this great big old church destroyed, huh?" And so I said, "Okay, demon, you got to go." And so he was really angry. He didn't like being called a demon, but I enjoyed that because he... You know, but he was a power spirit. I loosed him and he left. He said, "I'll be back." Isn't it nice to know they're coming back? be nice if you could prepare for when they're going to drop in and not let them come in. But the thing is, we are dealing with ruler spirits, people. That my whole point of even sharing this is we have got to bind those spirits, and we've got to know how to deal with them and get them out. This spirit of Leviathan is not, he's not one of your, my son calls furballs. And what he means by that is, you know, they run when you say boo. And when some of those things will, they will try to deceive you. They will try to make you think that the big ones have gone and the little ones are still there. I'm dealing with a baby spirit, a baby personality in a lady in our church. Haven't gotten it out because of all the other personalities that are there. But you said a baby one, you hadn't got it out? Well, he's the strong, he's the ruler. He came in first. And you know, when he, sometimes he'll manifest and you're not even trying to, you're trying to get something else out. And he'll say, well, I'm just a wee one. Praise the Lord. Well, going on. Going on. Thanks, Jim. Over in Isaiah chapter 27, let's look at that verse. It's another one on Leviathan. See, I've got method in my madness up here, you all. I'm stirring these things up in case you don't know it. We're going after these monsters in a little bit. So if you're getting really angry at me, guess what? There's a spirit beginning to manifest. Psalms 27, verse 1. He said, in that day the Lord with his sore and great and strong sword shall punish Leviathan, the piercing serpent, even Leviathan, that crooked serpent, and he shall slay the dragon that is in the sea. So he calls him a dragon here. He'll slay that dragon that's in the sea. And that scripture over in, I think it's over in Psalms. I forgot where it is. I think it's 74. Let's look at that one. I think it's Psalm 74. Because I had told you he has more than one head. And if you go over to Revelation 12, it talks about the 12 heads. Verse 14, Psalm 74 said, thou did break the heads of Leviathan in pieces and gave them to be meat to the people inhabiting the wilderness. So he has more than one head. Somewhere I've got the notes on those things where we've run into those different heads that you have to sometimes have to get them off one at a time. Sometimes you can get them all out at one time, but it's still work, whatever you do. Okay, let's go over to 2 Kings chapter 9. Spirit of Jezebel. Chapter 9 and verse 22. Jezebel's a witch. She's a ruler spirit. I was looking up some references on it and looking in the concordance, and it's calling her, she's called the Queen of Heaven. She, you know, she's over in Revelation, it talks about it. We'll get that scripture in a minute. But it says in verse 22, and it came to pass when Joram saw Jehu, he said, is it peace, Jehu? And he answered, what peace so long as the whoredoms of thy mother Jezebel and her witchcraft are many. Jezebel was into all kinds of witchcraft. You know what she did with, who was it? What was Naboth's garden, ground? She wanted, Ahab wanted that, his ground, and he wouldn't sell it. So she had him destroyed and then gave, I think Brother Chris did something on that the other night when he was talking about self-pity. Ahab got in a fetal position and cried like a baby, and Mama took care of him, gave him what he wanted. But she is a witch, and her witchcraft works. If you want to know, I was sharing with the girls upstairs the other day. I talked about the spirit of Delilah. If you ever run into the spirit of Delilah, she's a seducing spirit. And Jezebel is a witch, but she also used seduction. But Delilah was a spirit that steals the anointing. It comes through women and men, and it's used to steal the anointing off of a person. If you read Samson in Judges and read the story of his life, how he came and how he was anointed and how God used him and how he got involved with the prostitutes and how he ended up with no power until after he was blind and put in prison. And then God once more gave him, the anointing came upon him, and he destroyed more of the Philistines at his death than it did in his life. But there's the spirit of Delilah that works in women and men. It's just like the spirit of Jezebel works in men and women. And I'll tell you what. I know one that's in a man, and it's so vicious. It's one of the worst I've ever seen. And they don't have one, you know, and won't get it out. But it's a real powerful thing. It works and it controls. It controls by witchcraft. It controls by, before she died, Elijah said that the dogs was going to eat her, and they did. And she painted her face and went out, and they threw her, off of the balcony and all this. But let's go over to Revelation and chapter 17, and let's look at this. I want you to look at this. This is the way the Lord gave these things to me. He said, he woke me up, and he said, I want you to share on these spirits, and then I want you to do deliverance on them. And so I said, Lord, give me the names of them. He also told me to go on the beast, the false prophet, and the dragon, but I didn't get to that, so we may touch on it, but I don't know if we'll get to it. But in Revelation 17 and verse 1, let me find 17. And there came one of the seven angels, which had the seven vials, and talk with me, saying unto me, come hither, I will show thee unto thee the judgment of the great whore that sitteth upon many waters. And in Revelation, I think it's chapter 15, talks about when he speaks of many waters, it's talking about people. Okay, this tells us that the spirit of Jezebel is on many people. He said, with whom the kings of the earth have committed fornication, and the inhabitants of the earth have been made drunk with the wine of her fornication. So he carried away in the spirit and into the wilderness, and I saw a woman sit upon a scarlet-colored beast full of names of blasphemy, having seven heads and ten horns. And the woman was arrayed in purple and scarlet color, and decked with gold and precious stones and pearls, and having a golden cup in her hand, full of abominations and filthiness of her fornication. On her forehead was a name written, Mystery, Babylon the Great, the mother of harlots and abominations of the earth. So here we see that Jezebel, and I believe when I'm dealing with Leviathan and the dragon, that one of the heads of the dragon is Jezebel. I also believe that Beelzebub is another head. Right now I can't think of them, but if the Holy Spirit brings it to me, I'll tell you. But there are seven heads to the dragon. When you read Revelation 12, it talks about the dragon. Let me ask you something. Have you run into this, any of you that does deliverance, have you run into any spirit, any of the false trinity? Am I the only one that's run into it? Brother Jim, you run into the false trinity? I've run into it in deliverance. False trinity is, it speaks of it in Revelation 13, 14, 6, yeah, I remember. I just wondered if you had done some of that. I'm sure you had, because he's like me. He runs in about everything. But the thing is, the dragon and the beast. The beast is the image of the dragon. We have the Father, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, and the Lucifer's got the dragon, the beast, and the false prophet. And the dragon is Lucifer. The beast is the image of Lucifer. 12 and 13, look at 13, Revelation 13:1. It's an image of a picture of Lucifer. And then the tail of the dragon is the false prophet. And Isaiah talks about it being the tail of the dragon being the false prophet. And that's a false trinity. And I ran into the dragon the other day. It came up and he says, you hadn't seen me in her. And I thought, no, and I don't really want to see you in her. But we were... If we can find out, as you look in the scripture in Revelation 12, and it says the beast comes up out of the sea, you can see where it works in man. The false prophet works in the flesh, and the beast works in the soul. That's the one that talks where you have most of your problem is in the soulish area. And the dragon is the one that wants to sit on the throne of your life and rule. where God's kingdom is. Okay, I'm not going to go any further into that, but there's an awful lot of. Why don't you go to Revelation chapter 9? I'll give you another spirit we're going after. Revelation chapter 9. Apollyon, that's another one of the heads of that dragon. Leviathan. In Revelation 9, verse 11, it says, and let me read, start at verse 1. And the fifth angel sounded, and I saw a star fall from heaven unto the earth, and to him was given the keys of the bottomless pit, and he opened the bottomless pit, and there arose a smoke out of the pit as the smoke of a great furnace, and the sun and the air were darkened by reason of the smoke of the pit. The Lord showed me that the smoke that came up out of the pit was to cover what the enemy was doing. When the smoke represents covering, it's a covering and what can be hidden.
This is the end of part A. Please play part B. Thank you. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home.